Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and let's ask God to help you today to overcome the fear of that trial you're facing. It's hard. You know, it's really, I know it is. It's difficult. Believe me, I'm not a saint. I'm working on it. You know, I am working on it, and there are times where you just wonder where God is. But I really feel, and my advice to you today is in these situations, when we pray from your heart. You know, pray deep, you know, pray with faith, pray with trust. And if you can't pray, if you're having trouble, ask for the gift of prayer. Ask God to help you really unlock your heart. I'll share with you a really quick story. I didn't intend to share the story. This was years ago. I was really coming into a deeper faith of the Lord. I'd graduated from college. I was doing production work at the time, and I was really beginning to fall in love with my faith. And I would go to church every day. Outside of my morning mass, I'd go back and I'd pray, just spend time with the Lord. But I didn't feel like I knew how to pray. And I would say to the Lord in this prayer, kneel before the Virgin, and I would say to her, you know, intercede for me in this. Help me. Help me to really be able to pray from the heart, because I know if you can pray from the heart, prayer, you know, becomes a source of real life and joy. You know, it flows from the heart like a river. And God delights in that prayer from the heart. So, you know, I would pray this over and over again. Just teach me how to pray. It was a simple prayer. It was pretty much that. Lord, just teach me how to pray. That was my prayer. So, you know, I think a year goes by or so. I'm on location down in South America. I'm interviewing this mystic Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini. And in the middle of filming, we run into a problem. You know, there was a technical issue with our camera at the time. So we had to take a break, and nothing was going right. And I was getting really frustrated over this ordeal because time is money. I only had one more day down there. I had to fly back to the States. And if I didn't get what I needed in this particular interview, then it was really going to affect this documentary I was working on. And Maria Esperanza, she was so respected by her local episcopate that she was allowed to have the Blessed Sacrament in her home. She had these mystical gifts. She could bilocate and levitate and read souls. She was like a female version of Padre Pio. Really just an extraordinary woman, prophesied the birth of my first daughter and so many other things. It was pretty amazing. So in my frustration, she says, why don't you go and pray? Go into the chapel. So I went into her chapel, and I knelt down there, and I prayed, and the camera guys, audio guys, lighting guys were doing their thing. And when I finally come back out, I guess Esperanza had been in the home, and she has this ability to read the soul. And she looked at me, and she said, your prayers, Drew. She says, they are like sweet notes of music lifted before the throne of God. And it was an answer to that prayer, Lord, teach me how to pray. And I've been asking God to do that. And I realized that true prayer comes deep from within you, comes deep within the heart, within the soul. It's an emptying of oneself. It's an abandoning those anchors that hold you down. And that deprive you of putting your total and complete trust in God. If you can pray from your heart, if you can put your trust in God, knowing that he hears these prayers and however he decides to answer them is for the best, you'll unlock a spiritual power dynamic in your prayer life like you've never, ever experienced before. And God used Esperanza to confirm that he heard my prayer and that he was pleased with my prayers. So that was a while ago. Of course, we all struggle in prayer. I have had seasons of dryness where I don't feel like God hears my prayers. I've asked you to pray for me in those times. But today I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you can really, really begin to pray in a way that you know God hears, in a way that you see results in tangible and very positive results. All right, so I want to pray for you and your spiritual life today, your walk with the Lord. I want to pray for my own continuing development and growth with the Lord and relationship with him. And of course, we want to pray for all your temporal needs, your finances, your health, your relationships, all the things that rob us of a hope, you know, that instill in us that fear, that deprive us of walking on that water and trusting in the Lord. So please pray for me. Pray that I may grow in holiness, that I can be the man God wants me to be, that I can be the conduit for you, that, you know, when we pray and when we talk about the issues that matter most here, that the Holy Spirit will be at work. And I would appreciate that if you do that. I'm praying with a colleague today, Preston. He's a man of prayer as well, and I always appreciate spending time with him. Preston, anything you want to pray for today? It's so good to have you here.
Yeah, I appreciate being here. I have some special projects going on in our department, and I just pray for their success. They're a little bit difficult to manage, and I think they'll be really helpful for LRN Radio, so I pray for them and all the intentions of our listeners.
So a little background on Preston. He's some of the brain trust behind when we have a pledge drive, and one's coming up soon. So I really hope that in this hour when I ask you, you'll really come out in a big-time way for me next. I think it's next. Is it next week? We have a pledge drive already? Wow. Oh, yeah, my gosh. Next week already. Lord have mercy.
It's unbelievable.
It does. It flies. I feel like you just had one. But Preston put together a program that allows me to see your petitions and just to see the calls that come in. It's absolutely fantastic. And he hails from our accounting department. They've got a lot of initiatives there and in viewing who's listening and how they listen. So we'll pray for you, Preston. Pray for your beautiful family as well. All right, Maggie, of course, we'll pray for her. She'll be sharing some of your intentions. You can get them in at Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. She'll bring those to the air. And thank you for writing to me at the email address, drew@relevantradio.com. A lot of answered prayers coming in there, and I do have to make time to share those. But let's pray right now. This is one of the highlights of my day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
And before I take petitions, I want to throw a few out. I've been praying for Craig and Dolly Foster. Craig has a huge surgery tomorrow. And as I said, these are wonderful Catholic people who do so much for the church and are just generous, loving, wonderful examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I want to pray for his successful surgery and all those who are facing surgery, that, Lord, you'll be the hands of those surgeons and recovery will be prompt. A couple intentions came into me. A 32-year-old man sped into, he killed a 64-year-old, a couple car accidents here. I won't go through all the intentions have come in, but I want to pray for those who've been in violent car accidents and for the death that ensued from them. And an urgent email came in here, too. It says, I'm 15 weeks pregnant. I need a miracle for baby Trautman. Initial genetic tests show abnormalities. I'm going in for amniocentesis on Wednesday. That's today. And I'm praying for a miracle that the initial testing was false and this baby is born normal and healthy. Well, we're praying for you, Alyssa. All right, we're praying for your baby. And I just want to tell you, with my very first child, when my wife became pregnant, we were told also some of the genetic testing came back that the child might be born with, you know, autism. And they were concerned about it. But I went to a nun and I asked her to pray, and she taught me school and grade school. And she says to me, Drew, if God gives you a child like this, that child's going to love you all the more. And what are we going to do? You know, I wasn't going to do the amniocentesis. I didn't want to compromise the pregnancy in case something went wrong. I was going to accept whatever God gave, and I prayed. Child was born healthy. So I'm going to pray for you now and for your child as well. Let's take Camellia, though, before we start to pray. She's our first caller. Good afternoon, Camellia.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling. I've called you many times before, and this time I'm calling for my daughter, who it will give birth in her first child in September.
Well, praise God.
And she was diagnosed with lymphoma. They did a biopsy on Monday, and the results came in today for, it looks like it's lymphoma. I know everything that happens is God has a plan for it.
Yeah.
And I just hope that we all have faith and the baby comes out fine and there's no, my daughter doesn't lose her faith nor her husband.
Brother, I am so sorry. Camilio, I will, my wife and I will be praying for this, okay? In our personal prayers as well. And you have your spiritual family here. I'm glad you got through. Let's pray for a miracle.
Thank you, I know, Drew.
The diagnosis seems bad. Lord, I ask right now, you insulate this child. You protect it. You allow it to be born healthy. And I dedicate it to your great and divine mercy. Let it be a witness to your mercy. And we pray for this man and his faith and for his children and especially for his daughter, all those battling lymphoma, all those in the fight for cancer. I beg your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Grace in Hanford, California. Hi, Grace. Good afternoon. Hi, Grace. Are you with me?
Hello.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm calling for my daughter, Dolores. She is at this moment having surgery in San Diego. They found that she had her intestines were twisted, and they're going in to repair that. She is also in a facility in San Diego for an eating disorder, and I'm just praying that she doesn't lose her spot in the place where she's at, because they told her if she's not there in 72 hours, that she will lose her bed there, and she really needs to be there because she has an eating disorder. And I just pray that everything will go well with the surgery and that she'll recover. And I also pray for my mother who has cancer, and my husband and my daughter who also have problems, medical problems. Thank you, Jewel, and God bless everyone.
You're welcome. Grace, you poor woman. You are suffering so much. There's so much in your life. My gosh, my heart goes out to you. What a witness you are to faith and to trust and to prayer. And, you know, your family here will pray for you. I promise you, okay? You have my prayers, but our spiritual family here is going to be covering your family. Let's pray for healing for your family. It seems that, gosh, there's so much you have to battle with now. Lord, I don't understand. I don't. Suffering's a mystery. I don't understand why you allow certain souls to suffer in really difficult ways, but I trust you, and I pray for Grace. I thank you for her faith. I pray for her daughter, Dolores, who's having surgery, and I ask again, for all those who are in surgery at this moment, all those who have upcoming surgeries, all those who are in the ICU and those in need of recovery, and I just ask that you intervene, that today be a day of physical healing. That's what I ask for, Lord. For tumors to shrink, for cancer to disappear, for those intestines to right themselves, for those blocked arteries to open, for that arthritis to diminish, Lord. You have so many different ailments, for the cholesterol to come down, for the blood pressure to come down. You know the problems, for that nerve pain. I just give it all to you right now. I give you these souls. I bring them to the ocean of your mercy, and I immerse them in it. And I just ask that you heal in ways that will just amaze. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our third decade before we go to Mary in Oregon. Maggie's been monitoring Twitter. And if you need to get a petition in and you want Maggie to voice it, it's at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow us on our Twitter pages. All right. And on our Facebook. And don't forget, I am going to the Holy Land in October. So if you want me to bring your intention with me, and I'll pray for marriage at Cana and for conversion at Calvary and for healing at so many of the places that Christ worked those wonderful miracles, I'll be glad to do that for you. Go to relevantradio.com/Drew and scroll down. You'll see some info there, okay? Maggie, what's coming in today?
Drew, before I get to Twitter, I just want to lift up my goddaughter, Lulu. She suffers from a rare brittle bone disease, and I got a text last night that she fractured her ankle in the same spot that she did like just a year ago. So I want to pray for her healing, not only of the fracture, but also from this disease in general. Colleen wrote to us and said, please pray for my daughter. She's going through a divorce and has mediation today. Pray that her husband's heart would be softened and agree to reasonable amounts of child support as their two kids are 5 and 7. Thank you. Matt wrote to us and said, our 3.5-year-old daughter Stella is getting surgery tomorrow to remove tonsils. And also to put tubes in her ears. Please pray for a smooth procedure, recovery, and for Stella to be brave through it all. Julie wrote to us and asked for prayers for her 27-year-old son, Isaac. Many needs. He needs a better job, reversion to the church, and mental health help, please. And Marcelina, this one made me smile. I just thought it was sweet. She said, please pray for my eyes. I have to renew my driver's license at 3:30 today. And I fear not passing my vision test. Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen to that. All right, well, let's pray for those eyes, all those facing tests, especially those driving tests, that Lord, you'll be merciful. All those intentions Maggie brought forward. We do pray for, it's your niece, Lulu, right? So we'll lift her up and just ask for total, complete healing of those bones, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, and I put my total trust in you, and I thank you for this time of miracles, because we hear so many unimaginable answered prayers. I don't know your will. I submit to it, and I intercede on behalf of all those right now, Lord, who are really asking you to intervene. Mary's one of those souls. She's listening in Oregon. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My prayer request is for my friend's brother. He's on life support after a suicide attempt. The doctors say there's nothing left they can do, so now everyone's just hoping for a miracle. So for his healing, for his soul, and for his family and their souls.
Well, all right. Mary, I'm glad you called today. Thank you for calling with that intention. Hang in there, okay? Man, it's so tough. Lord, I pray for this man, for the deep healing that he needs. And I pray you give him a second opportunity at life. I pray for all those who have been affected by this. My son stopped by yesterday by the studio here when I was getting ready to leave, and he attended a funeral for a friend he just saw 2-3 weeks ago. He took his own life. And I pray for those who are overwhelmed by anxiety and fear, who don't see a purpose in living. And I think he lost his girlfriend. He lost his job. You know, Father Chris Alar once said that suicide is a temporary solution, or it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Lord, I pray for those who have these suicidal ideations, who are contemplating ending their own life. I want to pray for those they leave behind. It's a deep wound that I don't know if it ever closes. And I just ask that you heal the loved ones that suffer from this and for the individual who contemplates it. I pray for the mother who's been wounded through abortion, for the mother now contemplating taking the life of her child. Just ask that you bind those demonic spirits and that you heal those deep wounds caused by those spirits. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim is praying in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. Jim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, again, I had called in earlier and prepared for a heart situation for a family member, and that situation is much better, so we
praise
appreciate
God.
That.
That's great.
And, yeah, for me personally, I've been struggling with this diverticulitis issue.
It's tough.
I've been to the doctor and MRIs like three times already, and with different medicines, and they're strong, powerful antibiotics, and they're telling me that I might need surgery. So I guess that to resect that part that's problematic, and I just pray that I don't have to go through that surgery. And I want to include my neighbor. She has a similar situation. And
it's painful.
I just like to pray.
Well, we're praying for you. That's a very painful cross that you have. I've got a friend who's a gastroenterologist, and he tells me a lot, and I know that, but gosh, this is a cross you're carrying. But, you know, that surgery could be an answer to your prayers. I don't know what it is, but let's ask God for healing first and foremost, okay? And if for some reason you have to have the surgery, we'll pray that this is behind you. But, Lord, I just pray for those who have diverticulosis. I pray in particular for Jim. I thank you first for the answered prayer, the recovery that we're now seeing. But I pray for anyone suffering any issue of the colon. I want to pray for anyone who's having issues with digestion. I just want to pray for anyone right now who's just in need of healing. It seems to be the intention today. So many souls coming in asking for physical healings. So I ask for that first and foremost. I ask for your divine touch. But if it be through technology, through medicine, through the gift of the intellect you've given us, that healing has to come about, I pray for success and complete healing for Jim, whatever that may be, and for those who are facing upcoming surgeries once again. We pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Sherwood, Wisconsin. Tony's praying with us. Good afternoon, Tony.
Hi, Drew. I'm calling for prayers for my son. He has a high-risk surgery tomorrow morning to remove a part of his tumor and find out what cancer he has. He's 10 months old, and it's just tired. So any prayers are appreciated.
Well, I'm glad you got through today. I'm going to add you to my prayer list. I've been praying for this man, Craig, who's got surgery tomorrow, too. So I will certainly remember your son. Hang in there, okay? As a parent, I know my daughter had tonsils out and it tore me up. I mean, that's nothing compared to what your son is going through and what so many are going through. But I just know how trepidatious, anxiety can rise in these situations. Lord, it seems that every intention today has been for physical healing. And I just pray that you, the divine healer, the divine physician, embrace those souls today that are sick. Restore sight, restore mobility, restore those vital organs, shrink those tumors, heal those bodies in the many ways that they need those healings, Lord. And I ask for new beginnings and new health. If it is through surgery, I ask that your hands be the hands of those surgeons. We just pray, Lord, now for your complete and total mercy. Yeah, I think of what the Lord told St. Faustina. He says, I defend as my own glory every soul who will pray this chaplet. I'll defend them. And Lord, I just ask for your defense now. I ask you come and defend these souls who are in need of protection from sickness. I ask for restoration of body and of mind, of heart, and of soul. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Lawrence,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. And please send me your answered prayers. I know God is working. I feel the Holy Spirit sometimes so powerfully here. I know miracles are in the offing. Answered prayers, new opportunities, answers medically to situations that you may be looking in one direction are going to come in another. It's drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer and tell me your story. Send your petitions to us there, but one of the best places at our Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow. Stay with me. When we come back, I'll share with you a spiritual bullet, if you will, something that has had great conversion and something used by a lot of the great saints. There's a man who's giving these out. I'll tell you about him when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This wasn't a short-term policy. This wasn't a band-aid solution. This is a long-term commitment that has a certain note of urgency like no other. So what we've got to do is recognize that the new evangelization is not just running a sprint. It's much more like a marathon. It is going to be taking up the better part of the 21st century. And it's not something that is just nice. It is something that is absolutely necessary. for the survival of the faith and for the renewal of the church in the Americas and throughout the world.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was the great Dr. Scott Hahn on the need for our call, your call, my call, to continue evangelizing the culture. You know, you might have kids away from the faith right now. Maybe your spouse isn't where they need to be. Maybe you're coming back to the faith. Maybe you're just learning about it. Maybe you're in love with the Lord right now and you want to learn more. Like, I went to years of Catholic school, you know, and I didn't know. I mean, I guess I was taught the faith. I didn't really know the faith. Every day here, thanks to Relevant Radio, I learned so much more. And my walk with the Lord becomes deeper. You know, the Lord gave us a very simple command. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he commanded you, he commanded his disciples, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. It's called the Great Commission. And the church has done that ever since. And I guess I sometimes think back, you know, I have the privilege of a microphone. But I often thought, if I didn't, how would I bring Christ to the world? And how are you doing it? I want to ask you that. How are you doing it on a daily basis? How are you fulfilling that mission? Are you convincing your children that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one will come to God, the Father, except through him? You know, the early church went out, they evangelized the world. They lived in very pagan and evil times, and yet they had a profound impact on the culture around them, and really on the planet. Today we celebrate the blood of martyrs, right? The St. Lawrence, who was put to death. You know, the blood of martyrs would water the seeds of faith and help the church take root and grow. And today we live in a time where, okay, there's not going to necessarily be martyrdom. I don't see that coming. You know, maybe. I mean, I shouldn't discount that. That does sometimes take place. But, you know, we live in a time where we can be tremendous witnesses for the culture. For Christ, to the culture, to our friends, to our family. You know, you don't get beheaded for preaching the gospel on the streets, but you do certainly risk standing socially ostracized, right? Maybe at work, maybe at the gym, maybe with your friends, if you talk about the Lord. You know, it's interesting for me, just a quick story. We're going to be speaking in just a second to Steve Dawson. He does something which I think is just phenomenal. I had dinner with friends. This was probably about 6 months ago. It was around Christmas. And it was a bunch of couples. It was my wife and I, and it was maybe three or four other couples. We went to their house, and man, one guy works for American Foods, and he brought some incredible, you know, meat, and somebody else brought some really killer wine. And I mean, we all sat around, right? But you know what we did too, as well as talking about kids and jobs and work and the culture and everything else? We prayed. And I just thought it was so cool. To sit there with one guy's a surgeon, one guy's a business exec, another guy, you know, all these different people around this table, right? And we prayed. You know, I just thought it was so cool. Now, independently, if you were somebody else, you might feel that's awkward, right? We actually talked about God at that table. And I thought to be able to do that with friends is so unique. And these people are normal, down to earth. They live their lives. They have their own issues, you know, just like we all do. It's refreshing. You know, I want you the next time you have dinner with somebody, maybe bow your head and pray. I had dinner with Chris Temple, one of the contributors on this radio program. Stops by, he's a financial guy. He was in my town. He said, you want to have dinner? I said, sure. So my wife and his wife and the four of us got together and we prayed in this restaurant. That's a simple way of doing it. Other people see you. Maggie and I and my producer Tom had lunch one day. We were out praying and somebody stopped by. They saw us. He said, that's really a beautiful thing you did. So we started talking with the person, and little we know, they were Relevant Radio listeners. So like, it's a small world. But you can be a witness to the culture. You can do that. But imagine standing on a street corner and doing this. You might say, I can't do that. That's a tough thing to do. I work with a man who knows Steve Dawson. And Steve Dawson was at the NAB in Las Vegas. And he says, I was with this guy. And Drew, this guy is an evangelist. He was out there handing miraculous medals to people on the street. He is the real deal. And he says, I was so inspired by him. And I said, well, I'd love to talk with him. So I invited him to stop by today. He's involved in a wonderful ministry called St. Paul Street Evangelization. You can find him online at streetevangelization.com. And literally, they take it to the street. They take it to wherever they are. And they bring Christ to the culture like the early church. And I'll tell you what, they're planting seeds and they're changing lives. Steve, good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Drew, for having me. It's great to be on.
Well, I appreciate what you do, and the accolades in terms of what you have done from people who know you have been just off the charts to me. You're a convert to Catholicism, and I think converts sometimes make the best Catholics. Let's start with your story first. I mean, why did you convert? What attracted you to the church? Why are you so on fire for the Lord?
Yeah, well, I mean, this story could go, you know, 2 hours long, so I'll try to give you the 3-minute version. I feel like I'm more of a convert just because my mom was Catholic and I was baptized Catholic, but she married a non-religious father and she wasn't practicing the faith when she had us. So growing up, I don't remember ever talking about God or hearing about God in the home or never praying. We never prayed grace before meals. And so, you know, I grew up baptized Catholic, but, you know, practically speaking, I was nothing. And you know, I started getting into a lot of trouble in my teenage years. I remember the first time I was arrested countless times. I thought it'd be a good idea to steal my dad's brand new Thunderbird Super Coupe when I was 13 and take it out in the middle of the night. And
oh no!
Next thing I know, I'm in a high speed police pursuit and in jail.
Wow.
So it just went from bad to worse. And my parents didn't know what to do with me. I was the kid who you say, as a parent, you say, I don't want you hanging out with that kid. He's a bad influence. And I was. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I would never want my kids to hang around with me when I was that age. And I think, you know, through all my, you know, I got into drugs and alcohol and partying and, you know, all the things. And I think it caused my mom to hit her knees, to tell you the truth. And wow. She started searching, and she met a priest named Father John Harden, who was here in Detroit, and he shepherded her back into the faith, and she reverted. Now, Father Harden knew he was a very connected Catholic. He was a papal theologian. He was Mother Teresa's spiritual director, and he passed in the year 1999, but my mom met, you know, Cardinal Burke through him and Cardinal Ratzinger and
wow.
You know, Mother Angelica. So, you know, I was a teenager raising heck, and, you know, I'd had these funny red hat cardinals in my house, or Mother Angelica was there. One day, Mother Teresa called my house looking for Father Harden, and my sister says, Mom, Mother Teresa's on the phone. And she's like, what? You know, and so all these people were praying for me. And so she just, so I just want to encourage people who are out there listening, if you have a son or a daughter who's gone astray, those prayers work. And so, you know, I went through my 20s and was very far from God, but I had a moment where, I just really, you know, I was not fulfilled in life. And I thought, man, if this is all there is, I don't know if there's a reason to go on. So one night, I grabbed a bottle of whiskey and I went outside and I looked in the sky. Actually, I was drinking the whiskey. I brought it outside, but I put it down and I looked in the sky and I just said, God, if you're real, show me, you know, prove it to me. And that day changed my life. And so there's a lot more there, but that's the real short version. And from there, I just got this huge zeal to learn about God, to know about God. It was a supernatural grace that he gave me in that moment. And I thought I was called to be a priest. I joined the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate and discerned with them for 14 months. And I learned about the call to evangelization and the new evangelization. And I knew I was called to do something for God, but I found out that I wasn't actually called to religious life. So I left, but I knew I was called to evangelize. And that's where I got to be an evangelist.
Wow. What an amazing story. Praise God for that. God does reach out to us, doesn't he? And, I think your story in and of itself allows you to relate in a way that somebody else could not relate to somebody who's on the street, who maybe is walking the same walk. You know, you can talk the talk. You've been there, and I think that makes such a profound difference. Are you seeing fruit in your ministry? How's God using you today? How are souls being impacted and brought back to the Lord through what you're doing?
Yeah, well, you know, when I first started doing evangelization, just to take a quick step back to answer your question, I knew God was calling me, but I just didn't know how he was calling me. And so I would evangelize all my family members and my friends and coworkers and things like that. But I knew God was calling me to do more. And when I looked at the scriptures, one thing that really jumped out to me was that, you know, the New Testament and the Old Testament is filled with public evangelization. It's super highlighted in the scriptures. So you have Jonah in the Old Testament. He's going through Nineveh proclaiming the kingdom of God and repentance. You have John the Baptist out there in the wilderness preaching in public. And Jesus, you know, the Sermon on the Mount or the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. Or the 72 who were sent in the towns and squares and villages. And it goes on and on and on throughout Acts of the Apostles, Paul and the Areopagus, and then through the history of the church, we have public evangelists. So that really inspired me. And so what I actually did was, you know, I thought to myself, well, how do I evangelize people in public, you know? And I said, do I just, like, go into the grocery store and ask somebody to pass me cereal? And, oh, by the way, can I tell you about Jesus? Or go on a street corner preaching out of a bullhorn.
Right.
And no one in particular. And so, but I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and what he used to like to do to evangelize was pass out miraculous medals. And just to speak to the fruit of these public evangelization encounters, which happen with people you've never met before, I had so many. I bought 1,000 miraculous medals, and I thought, I can give these away. Yeah. And it turns out, you know, most people would accept the miraculous medal. They'd let me tell them the story. And sometimes there'd be incredible fruit. Just a quick example. I was at a restaurant.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Hold the thought, yeah. Steve. I'm up against clock here. Okay, I just take a short pause. Okay. I hate to do that. I want to hear about it.
No, I need to catch my breath anyway.
No, it sounds great. We'll pick it up at the restaurant, okay? My guest today, Steve Dawson, a powerful modern-day evangelist. And I think we can all learn from him, from the fruit that comes from being a witness to Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's the silent example. Sometimes it's engaging in that dialogue. When we come back, you'll hear more of his story. Feel free to join the conversation as well. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So wonderful hanging out with you. You know, you love your faith. Don't you love, you know, being a witness to others about it? I know, you know, timidity can sometimes, I don't know, get the better of us. You might think, oh, I could never talk about that with somebody I work with or out to dinner with friends or go up to a total stranger. But I'll tell you what, you never know who's in need. You never know how God's going to use you to change somebody's life. And Steve Dawson knows that better than anyone. He's set up a wonderful apostolate to help others. I hope you'll check out St. Paul Street Evangelization. You can check him out online at that same address, streetevangelization.com. He was sharing a little bit of his extraordinary conversion story. If you missed it, go to the archives or our podcast to listen. And when we left off, he was sharing a story of the power of the miraculous medal. And Steve, let me pick it up or throw it to you there. Let me let you pick it up and share with us where we left off.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. As I was saying, I knew God was calling me to evangelize more than just the people I had relationships with. But I didn't really know how, and I didn't want to get on a street corner with a bullhorn, you know, preaching out of the Bible at no one in particular. And so I heard the story of the miraculous medal, decided to pass them out, and I was in a restaurant, and the waitress came up, and I offered her a miraculous medal. And she said, oh, is this Catholic? And I said, why, yes, it is. And she said, oh, well, my boyfriend is Catholic. So I said, well, have you ever considered becoming Catholic yourself? And she said she had, but she had some problems with some of the teachings of the church. And I asked for an example, and she said, well, like an abortion. She thought that, you know, that God understood that in certain situations it was, you know, morally okay. And so I just simply said, well, the Catholic Church teaches what you can find in any science book, that at the moment of human conception, you have a new human being created by God. Well, that part is not in the science book, but you have a new human being. And once you have a new human life, it's not up to us to decide who lives or who dies. And so she said, oh, okay, well, that's nice. And she walked away. She took the miraculous medal, and we had a nice dinner. And I thought, you know, it went well, but I didn't know, you know, I'd never seen her before. I thought I'd never see her again. But I ended up going back to that restaurant about 3 months later. And she recognized me from across the restaurant. She ran up to me when she saw me. And she said, wow. sit down. I have to tell you something. That day that you gave me that miraculous medal, which she still had and was wearing, she said, I had just found out I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to have an abortion. But I knew that God sent you to be a sign for me to keep my baby. And she, with a big smile, she opened up her jacket that she was wearing, and she was clearly showing at this point. And I just said, praise Jesus. I said, praise you. We're going to get that baby baptized, right? That's the next step for an evangelist.
I love it.
But it was moments like these, amazing moments. That's just one of thousands of great stories that I have. But it was that moment which was pivotal for me, because I realized then that God could use two-minute conversations with people that you had never met before, that you have no previous relationship before. And he could use those encounters to use you as a channel of grace for a person to bring about conversion in their life, or even the saving of human life. And it was at that moment, which really transformed me, and it gave new meaning to all the public evangelization that's happened in the church throughout the history of the world over the last 2,000 years, but also found in the Bible. Like, this direct public evangelization really works. And that's the beginning of that. And that was the first fruit that I really saw, the first really amazing fruit, which is the long way to answer that simple question you asked me.
It's a beautiful story. What a powerful and beautiful story that is. You never know how God's at work. You know, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'd love to have you come back next week. We can talk a lot more, but I do want, if you could, just address why we as Catholics have such a hard time with this. You know, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all kinds of evangelical types of Protestant churches, you know, they hand out tract cards. I mean, they tend to not stay silent. And yet the Catholic Church, which has such an abundance of grace, I mean, you take a look at the sacramental life of a church, let alone our sacramentals like the miraculous medal, we have so much to offer. Is it the way we're raised? I mean, what is it about the Catholic world? Not everybody's like that, because you're an exception. I hope I'm an exception. But what is it that the Catholics seem to have a hard time really laying it on the line, or being willing to speak about God in a public sense?
Yeah, I think for a number of reasons, at least in the West, we've lost something that's been our heritage, that public proclamation. And I think at this point, first of all, most Catholics don't even realize that, you know, public evangelization is something that they might be called to. It's not even on the radar screen. Others who might think about it are just afraid. They think that they might drive people away, or they won't know what to say, or, you know, or make a mistake or drive someone further away. You know, so there's all these kind of obstacles. But one of the great things about St. Paul Street Evangelization is we help make something that seems hard and help Catholics realize that it's not so hard through training and workshops and different events. And we have an online school of evangelization, for example, at evangelizationschool.com, where people can just go online and take training in evangelization. So we have a lot of tools, and things are changing, because when I started this 10 years ago, St. Paul Street Evangelization, I didn't know of any Catholics doing this, but now we have hundreds of teams and thousands of evangelists who are working with us, and even more that are working with other, either by themselves or with other groups doing this sort of public evangelization. So things are changing, and we're just glad to be a part of that.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it, brother. You're making a huge impact. One day when you stand before God, you'll see all the lives and the ripple effect of those lives that you have have impacted. Let's talk again soon. We'll get you back next week, okay? And we can talk a little bit more. Good to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. That's Steve Dawson. He is the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Go to their website, streetevangelization.com. Streetevangelization.com. I'm going to check it out. Look, I love strategies, techniques. I'd love to learn how to be a better evangelist. I think we're all called to do it. You might think, oh, I'm too timid or I can't do it. You might learn something. Go there today, streetevangelization.com. And if the Holy Spirit gives you that tug on your heart, you feel the whisper, then you have an opportunity to be a witness for Christ, to offer compassionate, merciful, loving words. If you have an opportunity to hand somebody a sacramental or promise you'll pray for them, then I invite you to do that. You'll never know where that person is. I mean, look at his story. A woman was thinking about an abortion, but his act that day brought a life into the world. And look at the lives that will soon follow. God works in mighty ways, and he'll use you to accomplish those ends. I'll be right back.